this morning we have like a special, it's a wholly different service. I'm an over planner by nature. So it's like, let's go to a women's conference, have a Bayou student weekend, let's have a food banquet, let's baptize people and have a panel, all in Jesus' name. And so, yeah, I'm exhausted. But in Isaiah it says even the youth will go weary and tired and get faint, but it says we'll rise up on eagle's wings. And so this morning we have some people that we support. And just feel it's so important to go and reach your one and then to go there for. And so they have followed the will of God for their lives. They have made room for God in this area of their life. And I think it's encouraging to hear other people's stories. The Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and their testimony, the testimony of others. And so I'm going to introduce them. These are local missionaries here in this area, our faraway missionaries we talked about last week that are like, you know, in France and Cebu, Philippines. But this morning we have some that work locally. And so we're just going to get to know them a little bit better and how we can sort of bless them and pray for them. So would you welcome, if you're coming here, I know Nichols, Chi Alpha is here. So if you come to the stage with Cecil and Jeremy, with Place of Restoration, Miss Loretta, with Women's Restoration, and Jolie is from Married. Is she here? Is she in the house this morning? Jolie, ask on. And so I can't see is another problem. And so would you welcome them to the stage, and we're gonna get started in Jesus' name. I think you all have a microphone, and we'll get started. And amen. I'm gonna sit. I'll take that chair. I will take that chair. Thank you so much. And so I would say things wrong. We're gonna let each one introduce themselves and sort of share what it is that they do. So we'll start with one that you know. Give it up for Jeremy.
Thank you. I'm Jeremy Smith, and I am the director at A Place of Restoration. I'm married to Amber, who's in Kids Church right now. And we have 5 kids, and I came to A Place of Restoration to be in the program in 2011, and short and sweet, I told my mom I'd do 3 months. She said, get out the car. You're going to do one day today for sure, and I'm not coming back to get you. And almost 12 years later, I'm still there, and I'm the director. So that's kind of the beginning and the end. There you go. We're a men's drug and alcohol program in Gray, by the way.
Hi, I'm Loretta. I'm the director of Women's Restoration in Thibodaux. I'm married to Albert, who's affiliated with the men's program in Gray. Thank you, Jesus. We have 2 daughters, and we have 5 grandkids. We went to Dunklin, the program, where Albert and I went to SLT training in 2007, and I was the good wife. I was just going to go, and while Albert goes to training, I was just going to go for a year for training and just, just come back with the perfect tan and just go to training. And while I was there, going through the program, the Lord birthed in me to do something with women. And in 2015, the Lord spoke to us to open a women's program and started having accountability classes. And just women just started calling me, hey, can you sit with me? And I need to talk to you. And the Lord just started opening doors that only he can open. And it's just been amazing. Now we have 4 women. The program's located in Thibodaux, and it's a faith-based program, 1-year program, and one day at a time. One day at a time.
And just both of these deal with addictions, men's restoration and women's restoration. Addiction is like an untalked about problem in our society. And so the both of those, do you have beds available? Yes. I don't know. Yes. Yes.
We have no beds available, but we do have a graduation in 2 weeks. So we will have beds available.
Okay. So as you're hearing, I just want to say, as you're hearing these stories, you're thinking, God, there's someone in my family that could benefit from an addiction, a Christ-based addiction program, that these are great places in-house. You know, you don't have to go away to Florida, that you could actually just be right here. And so I think that's so valuable. Yeah.
We have 4 women in the program now, and we have 4 beds available.
Okay. Yes, next.
I'm Julie LaFont Pandey. I grew up here in South Louisiana on Bayou Black Drive, and I got to be a part of Hope Community when it was Hope Extreme.
Yes.
In those first days, those first programs during Thanksgiving, I got to be a part of that and loved every minute of it. Tara and I have been on tons of mission trips together, and as I grew up, I felt a calling for missions. So I've been able to serve as a missionary in El Salvador, and then I just spent the last 10 years in India, where I met... Where I met my husband, who was so sorry he couldn't be here today. He's recently become the media director at Living Word, so he's serving there this morning. But we just have a heart for missions, for helping people go out, for reminding people what God is doing and doing around the world. And of course, we have a big heart for India, and we're hoping, we're here while my husband's working on his citizenship so that we can go back and be able to travel to India and more places a little bit easier. I worked with girls who were victims of trafficking, and that's still where my heart is. We're still doing stuff with our girls, even though we're here. We regularly FaceTime, call, and Skype them, and just encourage them and spend time with them. And I don't know if I'm missing anything, but that's the heart.
Yeah. Awesome.
I'm Cecil. My wife and I, Kayla, she's sitting over here. We're the, yeah.
Who am I asked this week? Okay.
We are the Chi Alpha Pastors. It's a campus ministry at Nichols State. We've been there for 13 years now. We were involved as students before that, where we actually connected with Tara when it was Hope Extreme, and we used to partner a lot and do a lot of community outreach with them. And our hope is to see college students reconciled to Christ and God glorified and his kingdom grown.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I went to Nichols, got a degree there, and I loved Jesus when I was in high school, but I became a disciple of Christ when I went to college. Yeah. And it's one of the most unreached people groups, I think, in America, is where you see these kids going into campuses that some of them knew Christ, and because of the teaching and training, you know, and we just see that. And I have such a heart for missions, but I think some of that, we think we have to go, and it's good that we go to India and get married and have 2 kids that are, you know, beautiful. And that could be God's heart. And I think it is God's heart for some people, but also that we just locally, like in America, how can we serve? You know, what does that look like for us to be both thinking about the global church, but then really bringing that back into locally, what that does. So how did you feel like God was calling you into that mission? I know, I think some of you talked about it, but how do you know? Like we're saying, God, I want to make room for whatever you want, however you want to move in my life personally. But what did that look like for you? Jeremy, we'll just start with you.
I came to Christ out of a need, not searching, escaping. And I had no real plan or purpose. I wasn't seeking out God. I was just desperate. I was tired of being miserable. And so I was running away from myself and my the stuff that I was leaving behind, the consequences and stuff like that. And I just landed at a place of restoration and was introduced to Christ at my lowest point. And through the process of the renewing of the mind, of God renewing to me, putting a right spirit in me and giving me a new heart, I just fell in love with him. And then just step by step, I mean, Ms. Loretta said, a day at a time, that was kind of my process. I didn't have like a moment where the skies kind of opened,
right,
but it was just like I made one commitment and followed through. And what she said, SLT, that's servant leadership training. Once you finish the program, you can stay to be trained as a leader. And that's a year-long commitment. And then I stayed a little after that, and then a little after that. And the whole time, it's like I would have these plans that I wanted. And I think you said Joyce Meyer said that as well.
Yeah.
And I remember teaching a class, if there was like an aha moment, I was teaching a class at the end of SLT, and so I was back in school at Nichols. I was going to school at night and doing a place of restoration during the day. And I said, when I'm done with this and I move on to my career, and Buster, who was our founder, mm-hmm. was in the back of the classroom. He said, "Hey, boy, how you know you're not in your career?" And I said, because I was going back to school. I was going to be a coach. I had always played baseball and loved baseball, and that was my idea. I was going to, what I call, I was like baking the bread, and I was putting the God butter on it. He was like the topping that made it sound palatable to the people around me that love God. Like, right. Yeah, I'm going to go and be a Christian coach, and I'm going to teach kids in high school how to, be good men and have character and love God. And I was, I'm going to be a member of a church, and I was making my plans.
Right.
And then putting God as the topping. Mm-hmm. And when he asked that question, I laughed about it because I had my plans. But then it just like stuck in me of like, what if God's calling me here? What if I'm supposed to lay down my future or what I think is best for me? And there was a wrestling. And then eventually I just said, God, whatever you want. I trusted. I always trusted, like, whatever you have for me is better than what I have for myself. And I didn't always want to do it in the moment, but I did always trust that what he had for me was better. And now I look back and think, thank God that what he had for me was not what I had for myself.
Actually, when we were at Dunklin, we toured the women's facility, Refuge Ranch, where I went trained in 2015. And when we went to it in 2007, we were walking through it, and I was just in awe at the women's facility. And while we were walking, I just felt like a tug, like I had to be there. So I signed up to go, work there while Albert was training, and they didn't have an opening for me. And 2 weeks before we were set to come home, they called and said, "Hey, we have an opening, but it's going to be a year long." And I'm like, "Well, we're going home in 2 weeks, so, well, it wasn't meant to be." Well, when we talked to Pastor Renee and shared our vision with him, we called the ranch, and they said, "Oh, yes, you can come back." Well, before, like I guess about 2 months before that, the Lord had, I was journaling, we do something as journaling, and I was journaling, the Lord told me, he had birthed in me when I went trained, SLT training, he had birthed in me to do something with women. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what that looked like, but he was birthing in me in 2007 to do something, to do a ministry for women. And I'm like, okay, what is that all about? Because that wasn't my plan. My
right.
plan was to come back and go to work and live the American dream. Mm-hmm. But the Lord already knew what he was doing. He brought us there for a reason.
Right.
And I kept thinking, it's only for Albert to go work with the men. I don't want to have anything to do with that. I want to go back to work. That was my plan. But the Lord's plan is always better than our plans.
Yeah.
So.
I've been lucky. The Lord's called me a lot of places and to do a lot of different things, sometimes in really weird ways. When I got called to India, I was watching a movie, Slumdog Millionaire.
I love it.
My best friend, and we turned to each other halfway through the movie, and I was like, I think I'm supposed to go to India. And she's like, me too. And we were both heading to a different country. We were both going to El Salvador. And God actually brought that to fruition. She had come and with her husband and served for 5 months, and we got to meet up while we were there and just see the fullness of what God birthed in us in that movie theater. At a movie that we normally wouldn't have watched because we didn't know it was rated R. We didn't even know it was a sad movie. We just knew it was a Bollywood movie and there was a dance in it and it won some awards. So we're like, let's go see. But there are other times where it's been something that's just the Lord is pressing into you.
Mm-hmm.
When Josh and I decided to come home, it wasn't an easy decision, especially for him to be leaving his family, his culture, his home. I don't know if any of you have noticed, there are no Indian restaurants in Houma. There aren't any Indian grocery stores either.
Right.
We got to drive to New Orleans to do grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm.
But he came because it was something the Lord was just pressing on us and that we felt like we needed to do. And I think kind of like when the Lord's calling you to do something, it's not always easy, but when you're living to do his will, it's a lot easier than you would think because it's just the next step towards whatever he's leading you to. So it's kind of, it sounds crazy, but you're really just taking that next step. And I think when it comes to being missional, it doesn't matter if you're at home or if you're away. You know, we always tell people, because sometimes people think if they go, then they'll be better Christians, or they'll be serving the Lord better, or the Lord will reveal something to them that's just, you know, so great, and it'll just be better. But how you live at home is how you live everywhere else you go.
Right, right.
Mission starts at home. It doesn't start overseas.
Yeah.
You don't become an evangelist overseas or a preacher overseas, or, you know, you don't do those things overseas. Your heart, it has to start at home, that God gives you that burden. You know, and there are things that we learn and ways that we're stretched when we go on trips or we go to conferences, but God starts that burden while you're at home and builds that up in you so that when he does call you to do something that's different, you're just taking that next step, and you're like, I'm just taking the next step. So it's not a scary thing, even though it might sound scary and you might think, I could never. You really can, because a lot of you already are. You're already taking the steps.
Right.
And you're
right.
Being missional here.
Right. Right. So how did you feel, Cecil? How did you feel that call?
initially, you know, I love the Lord. I graduated from Nichols, and I was very selfish. I love the Lord, but I thought I really loved him. But in actuality, I loved myself more than I loved him. And my wife took a little bit longer to graduate, so I would still be around Chi Alpha serving. And something my campus pastor did, he would continually pester me about doing the Chi Alpha internship. He's like, man, I could see you doing this.
Yeah.
This is really, I feel like, what the Lord has for you. So initially, it was from something that someone else saw in me that I didn't see myself. Mm-hmm. But as I've continued to walk in that, there's a story in the book of 1 Samuel, I believe, where God directs King Saul to go and fight the Amalekites. And he says, when you go, destroy everything. Kill everything, leave nothing behind. And when Saul goes and they defeat the Amalekites, they actually bring back some of the precious things. And what Saul does is that he brings it as an offering to God. And then Samuel goes and rebukes him. And he's like, why did you do this? And he said, well, because I wanted to bring it as an offering before God. And Samuel said, don't you know that obedience is better than sacrifice? And so it's really easy for me to live my life the way that I want to and think that, Lord, I'm going to give you this thing because I think it's precious. But in reality, all I want, like what the Lord wants is obedience from his children. Mm-hmm. And so something that the Lord has really shown me over the years is that, like, man, if Jesus is truly my king, I have surrendered every right at his feet. And those are rights that I have no right to pick back up myself unless they are handed to me from my king. And so there's a quote by a guy named David Livingston. He said, if we considered an honor, if an earthly king were to give us a charge to do something, so like if the president of the United States, regardless of whatever political leaning you may be, were to come to your house and say, I need you to do this for America, for your country, I think anybody in this room would consider that a huge honor. And then he says, how can we consider it a sacrifice then whenever we've already received a charge from our heavenly king, the creator of all the universe?
Right, right.
And so, yeah, that's kind of how now, like, viewing the call is like, yeah, it's the most important thing on this earth is people, because it's the only thing that I can bring to heaven with me.
Yeah, yeah. So it just steps that you take. It's just one yes. I always tell my young people that with our youth. I said, if you'll just take the next yes, and then you'll say yes because he's already called, you know, and then no, you know, that special, you know, sometimes it's not an aha moment. Sometimes it's just saying the next yes, the next step. So what does ministry look like for you? Like, how do you, like, every day, we're walking this out again in your particular field. What does that look like for you?
Yeah, we have, right now we have 12 guys in the program and other guys in training. And so the guys wake up early every morning, 5:30, they clean their rooms, they have chores, they eat breakfast, and then they have a quiet time where they journal. We teach them how to journal. We really teach them how to hear from the Lord, how to ask questions to God. They do a daily moral inventory where they're examining the prior day. One of the things with addiction that is so crippling is that we protect the very things that are killing us. So these defense mechanisms to deny, to project, to blame, to rationalize our behavior, to always have an excuse, to never really be able to take ownership and say, this is my issue. Not just my addiction, not just the substances, but the day in and day out way I treat people, my attitudes, the way I carry myself, the way I think, the way I feel, those are all mine. And I'm responsible for my, you know, we say all the time at the program, God is constantly saying to surrender and abandon. And the only thing he says to control is self. A fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And so in addiction, we get it flipped. We try to control everything we cannot control. And we refuse to take responsibility for the one thing we are charged with controlling. And so there's a lot of look at yourself, look at yourself. So we're bringing these attitudes into the journal, and then the guys are asking God, all right, God, where does that come from? What do you want me to do with it? How do you want me to correct it? What do you want me to focus on today? And to really be leaving every journal time, every quiet time in the morning with some intentionality of like, today, this is my mission, what I'm in charge of, what I'm supposed to be working on today. And then we have class with them, and then the guys go to work. So the way that we provide for the program along with donations is that we have industry. We cut grass, we pressure wash, we build stuff, we tear stuff down. We're better at tearing stuff down than we are at building stuff. So you need demo work, that's our specialty. And
you should hire them.
Like, yeah. Like, we do
for
good
real,
work.
Like ministries like this need funding. Just being really upfront and honest, because this is where we started from, and still need. It's a daily grind of like funding. I know Cecil's like Nana said, because what they do, it needs funding. I'm just being, I'm saying that from a point of like we need funding. But yeah, so definitely if you need something, call. Talk to Jeremy and get his number and get those guys. They've done work at our house.
It's three parts. So it's like it provides for the program. It also gives the guys, we don't charge for men to come into the program. There's no funding needed to get in. We're just trying to help people. And then the third thing is that it gives the guys practical places, settings to apply what is being taught to them that day. You know, you're saying you got trouble with receiving accountability. You have trouble with following directions. You have problems with authority. Well, you're going to go on a grass crew with the guy that's your teacher, and he's going to tell you, no, don't do that. Go over there. And it's going to prick those things in you that God is working on, that God is calling out in you. And so it's not just sitting around and talking about it. It gives us a place to put it into practice. And then the heart for the place to see men in our ministry and for their ministry, women, ultimately, at the end of the day, all the working and the building and the classwork and all that stuff is to get guys to a place where they fall in love with Jesus.
Right.
And they make him their Lord. So we say a lot, we're not a drug and alcohol program. We're not a rehab. Mm-hmm. We're a discipleship program for men that are crippled with addiction. And so it's very specific. You have to be an addict to get in.
Right.
But our goal is not just to get you sober and then send you out. It's to make you a disciple. And so it's 9 months. It's long. It's hard. It's a lot of looking at yourself. The middle part of the program is inner healing, where once you stop blaming everybody and you can look at yourself, now we're going to dig deep into why do I do what I do? Where does it come from? All the hurts, all the pain, all the shame and the guilt, the things that have been done to you, the things that you've done to others, all that stuff that you carry and you try to pretend is not there. We're trying to flush that stuff out so that you can, so then you are free enough to choose to live for God.
Right. Awesome.
Ours is the same as a place of restoration, except we tweaked it a little bit for women, and it's a 12-month program. We start with a cup of coffee at 6:30 in the morning. They have
Amen
to have
coffee.
That cup of coffee, if not two.
We give coffee too, so.
And they push for three. And so we're going to start walking again for 45 minutes every morning. And then we have our journal time first thing in the morning. That's so important for them to hear from God first thing in the morning. And then they do their chores in the morning. We have classes in the morning. We follow the same curriculum as APOR. Like I said, we tweaked it some because women are a lot different than men.
Yeah,
we deal, with a lot more issues. And then we have classes till about 11:30, and then we work. Our work is we clean Living Word Church and Cross Church, and y'all don't have to call us to come clean your houses because we won't clean houses.
Everybody's thinking, yeah.
We do clean commercial buildings, but that's our industry. Another one is, we have our golf tournament. That's one of our major annual golf tournaments. And then we're going to have a gala this year in July. And that's our funding. We do need donors, to support us. But yeah, we do follow the same curriculum, and you know, we have four phases just like APOR. You know, our main thing is, yeah, we do, they have to be an addict to come into the program, but we send them to, we give them Jesus. That's our main focus, is we give them Jesus.
Right.
And they come in as addicts, but we don't have them stand up and say, I'm an alcoholic, you know, I'm a drug addict, because they don't leave an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. They don't leave being an, thank you. Thank you. Our mission is to help them learn to live productive lives, get out and be drug free when they leave our program. So it's the same as APOR, same thing Jeremy said, but when they leave, they're not. That's one thing one of the ladies said, oh, am I going to have to stand up and say, I'm an alcoholic? I'm like, are you an alcoholic? You're not an alcoholic anymore. You're not a drug addict anymore. Amen. So you don't have to stand and say that, you know, so it's the same thing. But Yeah, so it is 12 months. It is 12 months. We do have openings. We need prayer. We need financial support. But yeah, we won't be cleaning any houses.
I've gotten the privilege to do ministry a lot of different ways. When I was in Latin America, we'd go set up in the street and kind of do like what we started doing here when Public Stream started. We did programs, and people would come and watch us because we look crazy. And then we would tell them about Jesus, and we'd love on them and play games and do follow-up and hang out with people and make friends that way. When I went to India, it was really cool because I feel like I really learned more about how to minister in some ways, because everything was relational. And food. You have to have food. And a lot of it. And the right kind.
It sounds great. It sounds like South Louisiana.
It was. If you like to eat rice, India is the place for you.
We love rice. Yeah.
I thought I liked to eat rice, and then I went, and I was like, this is too much. I've had rice 3 times a day for 5 days. I'm done. I need something different. No, but they also have some of the best breads.
Amen.
But naan. Oh, I love
yes.
naan. Yep. And you got to decide what you want on it, butter, garlic, both.
Yeah.
But one of the wonderful things about being from South Louisiana and what makes us great ministers of the word and of the gospel is that we are brought up to care about people. We are brought up to be polite and courteous and respectful of others. And we love food. Not just our food. We love everybody's food. You got something that tastes good? I want to try it. Oh, I had all my friends convinced that, you know, well, not me. Everybody else that was there had them convinced that Americans did not eat spicy food. And I said, no, you just have the wrong Americans here. Cajuns. That's who you're looking for. Cajuns and Creoles. We can get it done. There are things and giftings that the Lord has given us, the culture we've grown up in, that really equips us to share God's word with other people. There are people that you can talk to in the line. And that's kind of like, at this point, coming back home, that's kind of where we are. It's about relationship and building relationship with people who don't know the Lord. And that's kind of just our daily thing. You're on the lookout. Who can you talk to? Who can you encourage? Who can you speak life into? Who are you supposed to be making friends with? You know, which sometimes seems weird and awkward if you're older. You know, I'm 38, and sometimes they're like, I'm 38, and I'm looking at how to make friends. How do you make friends? Okay, how do we become friends? But the Lord opens those doors and opens those friendships and those relationships with people so we can minister, you know, and it's over a cup of coffee, you know, it's coming over to your house and having food. In India, you knew you were friends with somebody when they invited you into their home. Mm. I invited a lot of people into my house. I would have 30 people over at my house every week. We had our Monday night, not always red beans and rice, but sometimes red beans and rice, and everybody would come over to the house. And we knew that we were really in relationship with people, that they had opened themselves up to us when they invited us back to their house. You know, because a lot of times their house, they couldn't fit as many people, or maybe they felt the offering wasn't as much. But we knew that they were finally comfortable with us. They knew how much we loved them and cared for them. And it allowed us to have conversations that we wouldn't have normally been able to have. And I think the wonderful thing about living in Houma is that you can talk to anybody. You go down the bayou, you go anywhere, you know, south of New Orleans, and you can just talk to anyone, and nobody thinks that it's a big deal. You can talk about anything. The prices are too high? Yes, they are. You know, you're having a rough day? Man, I'm sorry you're having a rough day, but I really hope this blesses you, or I hope the Lord's blessing you, or, you know, just whatever encouragement we can give to people. We can do it, and it's not weird.
Right, right.
You know, you go up north, it's weird. People look at you funny. They don't like to make eye contact. But here we can do all of that. So we're just so blessed, but we have to be on the lookout. And so I think right now my daily thing is being on the lookout.
Amen.
Of how can I be an encouragement? How can I be loving and caring towards other people while I'm here and be present? And not looking towards the next thing, but looking at what's in front of me,
awesome.
You know?
Yeah.
And I also think a lot of times we're open like that, the Lord just brings people. It's not that I'm doing anything great. I'm not being anybody great. But the Lord opens that door and he brings people in.
Amen. Amen. Cecil, what does ministry look like for you guys on a college campus?
Okay. I mean, I could give you a breakdown of every day, but
yeah.
I'd rather give you the heart behind what we do. Because I think that's what matters most is the why, not the whats. The whats will change depending on where you're at. But as long as you have the why, the heart behind it, I think it applies no matter where you are. Let's see. So we have a saying, it's what I do in moderation, they will do in excess. And mm-hmm. So when I think about like our children, I didn't say we had children. My wife and I, we have twin daughters and we have a little boy. They're in kids' church right now. But it makes me look at my life and make sure that the things that I'm doing are worth replicating in the ones that are coming up under me and behind me. And that's true of my disciples, people that I'm pouring the love of Jesus into their life. There's a book called The Cross and the Switchblade by Dave Wilkerson. I don't know if anybody's never read the book. It's really good.
It's worth reading. It's worth buying.
It's really, really, really good.
Yeah.
And so Dave Wilkerson started something called Teen Challenge. And the first center was in New York. And he went there because the Lord led him there. And he's trying to bring Jesus to gang members and drug addicts. And whenever they finally had like a group of workers there, of young people, he said that in the morning they would spend 4 hours in the Word and in prayer, communing with God. And then they would go out on the streets. And they went not looking to make converts, but they went to notice, hey, who are the drug addicts? Who are the gang members? Who are the people who are prostituting themselves? Because he said, we're going to meet needs in their life. Something we say is that love finds a need and meets it. That's what love does. And so he said that if we go out and we meet the needs of the people, that they will basically tear down our doors trying to get in to know Jesus because of the love that we have for them. And so with that, I mean, I want to make sure that I'm spending extravagant time with Jesus daily.
Yeah.
That my conversations are leading to Jesus. The people that I'm around, that I'm talking to, if Jesus is what I'm putting in me, that's what's going to come out. We say a cup can only spill what it contains.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making sure that I'm if I want to build the culture of honor, of valuing others, I am honoring people to other people within our community. What are some of the other six wins? There's six things that we do. Honor people to other people's responsibility. Delegate responsibility. That's another thing to promote maturity. So I'm making sure that I lead a small group, and the guys in my small group, they're all like half my age. But I love them, and they love hanging out with me. But I have to make sure that if I'm not delegating responsibility to them, like for God's kingdom work, I saw on the little flyer thing, it says one of the goals was to serve in some way at Hope Community Church. And it's like that's a way of building maturity in your faith and in God's kingdom. And without ever delegating responsibility, we will never see growth, right? If I bathe my children when they're little, and as they grow older and I continue to bathe them, they will never learn to do it on their own, but then they'll never learn how to model it to someone else.
Right.
And so I think that's the most, I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all give it. We just want to say thank you for coming, and because of time, the ways that you can support them, come and talk to them after service. They're going to be right here. For young people, we always encourage you, do not leave Jesus in high school. He travels with you to college, and so to whether you're going to college or a job, so get to know the ministries there and how you can be a part of that. And so how can you support them? Pray for them. These guys are are on the front lines of ministry. We support them, and whenever you give of your tithe and offering, we talked about that last week, we're able to give 10% back, and we do that locally here, and then we also do that globally. Like, our reach is both local and a global reach, and so and then just praying for them. We have a wall right outside of this building, right outside by the kids' church, and their pictures are on our map. And I pass by every day, and I said, you know what, I'm just going to speak the name of Jesus over Kayla and Cecil and the ministry that they have at Nichols. I personally am not called to Nichols State University, but him and his wife are, and I can pray over them. I think we're to pray, you know, over Jeremy and Amber and Loretta and Mr. Albert and Jolie and Josh, and look at them and say, how can I advance to the kingdom through prayer? Like, just praying for them. And then financially, how can I, you know, finances, yes, we give, but maybe God has burdened you to be a part of the golf, they have a golf tournament. Or maybe you love golfing and you could say, hey, can I sign up a group to go golfing or be a sponsor? Y'all have one in the fall. In the fall?
Yes. November.
In
first
November.
Monday of every November.
The first Monday of every November. And so there's real ways that you can support them, or ask Cecil, hey, what's a need that you guys have? How can I come alongside of you and assist you? Besides praying, I know a lot of times people, I'm praying for you, and I'm like, thanks, but like, this is a real need. Like, we need a van. One of our vans can make on the shop. So like, that's a real, real need. And like, I'm like, I appreciate your prayers, but if you want to bless us with a new van, we'd be also very thankful. You know, like, just the practicality of working inside of ministry. And so our whole message this February has been, go therefore and preach the gospel. And then it says in Matthew, the commission that Jesus leads us is to make disciples. What you heard on stage today, that people are making disciples, and he says baptizing them in the name of Jesus. And so would you give it up for the people on stage? And then we wanted to do this just a little bit different. We wanted to do in service differently. Typically with our baptisms, we just allow the baptisms to happen and then people can watch or not watch. But we said, you know what? What a privilege it is that there are people inside of our church that have given their life to Christ and then that are also going to be baptized. So what we want to do this morning is we want to make this a part of our mission. And so if you're getting baptized, we're just going to line you up on this side. Pastor is getting into the hot tub. Amen. Hot tubs are good. So it's not going to be freezing cold. But if you're one of those that are being baptized, would you just make your way? And everybody else, we're just going to honor this time. If you've not been baptized, we're going to do this again in like a month or two. And the Bible says it's just a public profession of what Jesus has already done on the inside. And so probably pastor is going to need a microphone. If anybody has, do we have an extra microphone that we can just hand over to him? And we're just going to hear their testimony, and then we're just going to believe for what God has for them. So I'm handing that right over to you.
Amen. If you guys are being baptized, will you just get in a line right here? Everyone else, would you just maybe honor this time? You know, this is a very special moment. This is a public confession. Say, I am deciding from this day forward to follow after Christ. And I want to make it known to everyone. And today we have the privilege of baptizing several young people. Amen. And the youth group is just growing by leaps and bounds. And it's amazing what God is doing in the young people here. And yeah, amen. Give it up. But today this is really special. And so if you guys, would you step on in? And as you step in, just have a seat. And put your legs to the front, and we're going to baptize you. Crystalyn, do you tell everyone today why it is that you're being baptized?
So that way I can take the next step and to live my life for the Lord and do what He is calling me to do.
Amen. Amen. She would know who she is, oh God, as the woman of God that you have created her to be. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, let her live free. Lord, let her live bold for you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Samantha, can you tell everyone today why it is that you are being baptized?
I want to have a closer relationship with them.
She wants to have a closer relationship with the Lord. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Samantha, do you have a tell everyone your name?
Sue.
Sue. And Sue, why it is that you're being baptized today?
To give myself to the Lord, and so He'll be here every step of the way in my future.
Amen. Amen. Come on, take your glasses off. For you, Lord, we thank you for Sue. We thank you for the conversion, oh Lord. We thank you for a declaration of faith today. Lord, from this day forward, she will be different. Lord, her past is no more. But Lord, you are making her into the woman of God you have called her to be. Lord, from this day forward, a new creation rises in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, the old person has died. And so, Lord, we thank you and we give you praise, oh Lord. We give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Y'all give it up for Sue. Good. Would you tell everybody your name today?
Raquan.
Why it is that you're being baptized today?
To get my body fixed and respect my mother.
To get your body fixed and respect your mother. Those are good things. God, I thank you for this young man. I thank you for Raquan. God, I pray that your hand would be upon him, that you would lead him and guide him in all of your truth, oh Lord. Lord, that he will become a man of God, that he will be bold and courageous for you. Lord, he will declare your good works, oh God, to all of his friends and to all those, to his family. Lord, let him be the light. Let him be the example, oh Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for him and we give you praise for his confession of faith today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. April, would you tell everyone today why are you being baptized?
So that way I can let go of my past and be washed away from it and start a new journey with Christ.
Amen. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? That's what Christ does, that he washes everything. Everything that we've ever done, he washes us clean. He makes us white as snow. And so today, as she makes her confession of faith, we stand with you that the old person has passed and a new person is arising. Amen. Lord, we thank you for April. We thank you, Lord, for your hand upon her. We thank you for the work of conversion in her life. Lord, we pray from this day forward, Lord, that she will live for you. She will serve you with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we pray, Lord, for a filling, an infilling, God, of the Holy Spirit in her life, Lord, today. In the mighty name of Jesus, lead her, guide her. Lord, let her know that you love her with an unconditional love. God, wrap your arms around her and direct her. In Jesus' name, amen. Give it up for Matt. Matt, why are you being baptized today?
To commit more to the Lord.
Amen. Commit more to the Lord. You know, Matt's a volunteer firefighter, and you know, so it takes a level of sacrifice, laying down yourself. And so today, in a sense, you're laying down your old self, and you're becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so. Well, it's my privilege to baptize you today. Father, we thank you for Matt. We thank you, Lord, for the work you've begun in his life. Lord, we know that it's not over. Lord, you have just begun. We thank you, Lord, that you'll continue to lead and guide him. Oh, Lord, fill him with the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray, Lord, even for, Lord, the spirit of discernment and prophecy, oh, God, over his life. Lord, he will declare your word. He will declare your truth, Lord, with boldness and with accuracy. Lord, let that passion in his heart just continue to burn for you each and every day. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, and let God's people say amen. Victor, why are you being baptized this morning?
I can call myself what is lukewarm, because I've always been one foot to the left, one foot to the right. I've never been like truly by choice, oh, I love God. I do, but now I realize that I love myself more than God. So I want to be obedient and trust him and just give my life to him.
Amen. Wow. God, we thank you, Lord, for him. Lord, he will not be lukewarm anymore, but Lord, let there be a fire within him, oh God, that he'll burn hot for you each and every day. Lord, just ignite that passion within him, oh God, and ignite just a fiery love for you, oh Lord. Lord, that would be contagious. God, we thank you for him. We thank you for his personality and the way that you've made him. And Lord, that you will just use him, Lord, in an incredible way. Keep him on the straight and narrow path, Lord, where he would not go to the left or to the right. But Lord, he will follow after you each and every day. We thank you and we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You guys who are you good? Or y'all need a change? Or I know y'all shivering over here. If y'all need a change, y'all welcome to go change. Yes, either way. Victoria, so we get to do the whole family today. We got Victor, we got Victoria. That's awesome. Praise God. So in your own words, why are you being baptized today?
It's probably the same reason as my brother. I've been pretty, like, lukewarm, never, like, fully committed to Christ. And right now I just want to, like, just fully commit to the Lord.
Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you. God, we thank you for Victoria. God, we pray, Lord, that you would just use her voice, oh God. And Lord, the same as, Lord, that you would just keep her on the straight path. Lord, that she would not go to the left or the right. She would not be lukewarm anymore. But Lord, she would burn for you, oh God. God, we pray, Lord, your hand would be upon her. You would lead her and guide her. Lord, fill her, Lord, with the Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Isn't this awesome? Come on, y'all give God some praise. Give God some praise. Lord, we praise you, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right, Logan, in your own words, man, why are you being baptized today?
Because I want to commit my life to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. 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 Awesome. God, I thank you for Logan. God, I thank you, Lord, for a man who is faithful, Lord, a man who loves you, Lord, with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Lord, today, as he makes this proclamation of faith, Lord, that you would be with him, Lord, and that you will guide him, Lord, and you will teach him, Lord, your word, and show him, Lord, just the revelation of who you are. God, each and every day, Lord, let his intensity for you grow. And so, Lord, we thank you for him. We thank you for his commitment today. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Your name, please?
Austin Moore.
Austin. And Austin. All right, y'all give it up for Austin. You might be last, but you're not least. Amen. Come on, you're not least. Why are you being baptized today?
I want to be cleansed from my past mistakes and be closer to God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for this young man, God, who has made a commitment to you to follow after you. I pray that you will lead and guide him all the days of his life. Lord, we pray, Lord God, that his conversion, Lord God, will be real and sincere, oh Lord. Lord, that you will protect him and guide him. Lord, protect his thoughts, oh Lord. Lord, that he would know who he is. God, he is a child of the living God. You are his Father, oh Lord. You are his Heavenly Father, and he is loved by you. So we thank you, oh Lord, for all that you are doing in his life. Lord, continue to work in him. Continue, Lord, to pour out your spirit upon him, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And let God's people say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Y'all give God some praise one more time. Just offer up a praise offering to the Lord one more time. Come on. Lift up your voice. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory in this place today for all that you have done. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Give it up for those who are baptized today. Amen. Amen. Y'all can go change, get into some warm clothes, and we have some yummy food right outside these doors. So please be a part and support different ethnicities, different food groups, different people groups represented by food. In Jesus' name, we love you guys. Amen.